2 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. The elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Emma, thanks very much. Do keep a pew Bible open, page 1229. I'm going to pray for us as we look at God's word together. Loving Father, we thank and praise you. We can be gathered here this morning, and we pray that you would help us to have ears to hear your word, to understand and respond to the love of Jesus in how we love one another, to love and understand the truth that is Jesus, and how we would follow him day by day. And we ask all these things in his name. Amen. Well, of course, yesterday morning, millions of people around the world gathered together in all sorts of places around the world, but at the same time. Why? Well, because of a shared love for that silly egg-shaped ball being passed around the pitch. The Rugby World Cup. A few of us gathered. There were a few various bacon butty parties yesterday. Of course, some are still celebrating. Others of us commiserating. It is good to see somebody here this morning who was on the winning side's nation. I'll say no names. Get to know him over lunch. But this morning, as we gather in the same place at the same time, with countless millions of other Christians doing the same thing around the world, it is important we remember why. What brings us here? Just what is it? Or who is it that we love in the way that yesterday a love for the rugby brought people together? What brings us together in a new combined service? Not just today, one off on a Sunday, but actually day by day, as we as God's people in Crouch End walk the Christian life together. We need to know why we do that. And that's not only so that we maintain and cherish and guard that whatever it is would stay the main thing, but also, as we'll see, so that anybody coming in, perhaps that's you this morning, would know why we gather. Do you just think we just love getting up on Sunday mornings and we don't like golf? I love golf. And on a sunny day like today, it's quite appealing. No, we want people to know that we gather together. Why? Because we love following the same Saviour. And so there's two things I'd love us to leave this morning knowing. You'll see on your sheets where we're headed, two simple points. And the whole of passage that Emma's read really hinges on two words, truth and love. I'm sure you noticed as Emma read that they were repeated time and again. I think it's about 10 times in just 6 verses. Truth and love often mentioned together. And the first thing we see is that our Christian love depends on the truth. See, John doesn't refer to truth generally or truthfulness as some sort of just morally virtuous thing to kind of buy into. No, he repeatedly speaks of the truth. Look, verse 1. He writes, he loves this chosen lady. It's the way he's describing the church he's writing to. He loves them in the truth, along with all who know the truth, because of the truth. Verse 3, he says it's God's grace and mercy and peace that's with those who share in this truth and love. Verse 4, John's got great joy. Why? Because he's heard they're walking in the truth. See, if he's repeating himself to make a point, his emphasis makes the point, doesn't it? The truth matters. And so the Apostle John is rejoicing, particularly because he hears they're still trusting the truth. Because as the letter continues, and perhaps have a look at it at home later on, he knows other teachers and ministers are coming in preaching untruth. And so John encourages them and us that Christians can't love one another more by compromising the truth. Because it's the truth that our love and indeed our unity as Christians depends on. It depends on the truth. I was recently approached by a few local North London ministers across all sorts of denominations. And they sent an email around to a few wanting to gather together to think how we could partner together, support each other as local churches, encouraging each other as Christians, and doing outreach together. An excellent email to receive and very encouraging. So we met for a coffee just here, actually. We had them here, and we were chatting over coffee. It was all very pleasant and very nice, getting to know each other. But as the conversation went on over an hour and a half or so, it became clear we didn't all believe the truth. There was differences of opinion in the room. And so for a couple, the thing that they'd say they believe, what they would say was the truth, denies what we'd say as Christchurch is the truth from the Bible. They'd say the Bible is helpful, but not to be trusted or obeyed. They said Jesus died for sin as a symbolic gesture, but don't speak of dying to save sinners. They said Jesus doesn't offer a new life, trusting and following him, but just an option of life. And he will not return to judge and rescue and recreate. And it all stayed very polite, but of course I had to politely say, then we believe a different truth. In fact, I'm saying we believe the truth, and you believe something else. And so we might well gather in similar ways on similar days. And we might well call ourselves Christians, but we don't trust and love and follow the same Christ. Because we don't trust his truth. And to pretend otherwise, friends, for the sake of unity, which we'd all long for, to pretend otherwise, though, for the sake of unity, would be false. It would be fake. It would be a fake love based on fake truth. And as the Apostle Paul says, no, he rejoices when Christians keep going in the truth, because that is what our unity depends on. So friends, as Christchurch, as we've heard, takes this next step, as Richard so helpfully prayed for us, this next step in our Christian walk together as a family, as we gather as two congregations becoming one from now on, let's pray we'd be a church that walks in love for the truth. And as I say that, like any family walk, if your family walks are anything like ours, we will all be walking at different paces, even on the same walk. So we'll have, even in our wider church family, from regular ramblers like Desiree, who'd knock us all to shame of how many miles she'll cover on any Saturday, from ramblers to those with babies in pushchairs and slings who'll slow down when it gets muddy or there's steps. We're a diverse church family, but we're walking the same Christian walk at different paces, and that is okay. Some of us will have been walking the walk for years and years. Others of us will have just started. Some will have been walking, whether we've just started or for years, with a spring in our step. Others very cautiously, nervously. And that is fine, because we have one another to encourage one another to keep walking the walk of truth. And we have wonderful opportunities to do that, don't we? Whether it's just turning up on a Sunday, what an encouragement to see you here. Whether it's then after the service over refreshments, whether it's in our midweek small groups, Wednesday nights and Fridays, where we study the Bible. Where it's by WhatsApp or text, or just through catching up over a coffee or having lunch or dinner together. we're to encourage each other to keep walking in the truth that we depend on. And that means, doesn't it, that our conversations will have to move beyond sort of those more polite and safe questions of, did you see the rugby yesterday? Or how are you and how's your health and let's talk about the weather? Whatever, they're fine. But we've got to go further than that, haven't we? If this is what our love depends on, it might be that we have the courage to ask as we establish friendships and new friendships as we gather. You know, I've not seen you for a while. I know your health's suffering. Your health is weak. Is your faith strong? How can I pray for you? Might be you say to someone, I know you have so much on your plate. You must be full of worry. Do you still know the peace of God's promises to be true for you? Might be you know that someone is under great pressure from HR and you say you're still bold for Jesus. You might say to someone, family life, that is 100 miles an hour, isn't it? Are you still making time for the truth of the Lord? It might be that those of you who are slightly older will turn to our younger ones, our secondary school children who are staying in the service now and say, how do you keep trusting the truth when 99.9% of all your friends and all your teachers at school tell you it's false? How can I encourage you? It might be the younger ones, our secondary school students, turn to some of our more senior saints and say, how have you kept trusting the truth for longer than I've been born? Please show me how. I'd love to follow your example. Whatever it would be, these sorts of questions to encourage each other. And please hear this invitation. Ask those questions of me. I'm on the same walk as you. Don't think that I'm immune from wandering. As we walk together, please ask. You have my utmost permission. I would love it if you did. And of course, these are costly conversations, aren't they? They take courage. They require a depth of friendship and trust. They require often practical help to meet the needs of one another. And that's not easy when doubtless all of us would say our lives are full enough. How do we make room for one another and new brothers and sisters in a growing church family? But we depend on it. And so let's strive to share in this great joy of rejoicing, as John does, as we look around and see one another still walking in the truth. Second, Christian love depends on Christ. That's sort of really verses 5 to 6. Our love depends on him. I suppose the clue is in the name, really. Christians are either founded on a chap called, well, who is the Christ, or someone called Ian, and speak to me afterwards if you worry Ian's not had enough coverage the last couple of thousand years. But it is all about Christ. So verse 5, look down with me again. John writes, and now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. See, John is simply writing to them and to us the words of Jesus that he also quotes in his own gospel back in chapter 13 of John. It's there that Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. See, Jesus' command was new. John's isn't. He says it's Jesus's. Christians love one another by helping one another walk in obedience to Christ. And we obey him by trusting his command to love one another as he loved us. And how did he do that? Well, he preached and he practiced what he preached, didn't he? He preached God's love as seen in God's judgment of sin and his rescue from it on the cross. And he practiced God's love seeing the needs of sinners to be saved and being obedient to death, even death on a cross. And so Christians who follow Christ are clear that our love is to be obedient and practical. It depends on us loving like Christ who first loved us. And as we love one another in that way, as we've been thinking about all through Philippians, we'll support one another to keep trusting the truth and obeying it. And the great assurance is that others will be very clear who we follow and why. And I guess even for some, they'll long to follow, to join the walk too. I heard just this week of a man in his 60s in America who devoted his whole academic career, it was academic career. He was a social psychologist, explaining away Christianity, indeed all sort of world religions. And then for all sorts of reasons I won't go into, he found himself one Sunday in his local church. And he couldn't explain the gospel he was hearing from the pulpit, but more importantly for him at the time, he couldn't explain the gospel he saw lived out in the pew. He couldn't explain older people having real, relevant relationships with younger people. He couldn't explain people from complete different walks of life gathering together at the same time in the same place. People who shouldn't be bothered to do that. And week by week, month by month, this gentleman, as he put together all that he saw in the pew, if you will, with all that he heard from the pulpit, as he put together all that he saw of the love of Christ in the pew, with all that he heard about the love of Christ in the pulpit, well, by God's grace, he was given eyes to see, and at his baptism, he explained how he walked with Christ now too, and none of his published theories that have made him lots of money could explain why. So if you're a visitor here this morning, it is terrific to have you. Might be you're someone who's interested in why we gather. Maybe you're very skeptical and cynical of why we gather. Please know that we gather because of Christ. And any love we pray that you would see amongst us, we're not perfect, but any love you'd see and know depends on us imitating Christ. So friends, let's love each other as Christ loved us. In a few moments, we'll share the bread and the wine there behind me. And we're reminded, of course, tangibly of the depth and extent of his love for us. And as we are therefore taken to the foot of his cross, and as we hear his commands to love each other, we can be sure that obedient Christian love will be costly, because that's how he loves us. That obedient Christian love will go to far greater length than anyone will find in any other community that gathers together, because we depend on the love of Christ as seen at the cross. And I rejoice, I praise God. I could have drawn on many examples and embarrassed many people of that sort of Christian love seen here at Christ Church that predates my arrival over many years. Lots of it unseen, some of it seen, lots behind the scenes. It's a joy. And lots of you will know it well. And of course, that is a love not least of all expressed in our willingness, I hope and pray, to come together on a Sunday morning in this new way, to start this new service together. I wonder how you're feeling. There's bound to be a spread in the room of those who are very excited and those who are very anxious, and lots in between. I'm in between too. All sorts of emotions. None of us particularly like change, and that is fine. And so as we go home today and we chat over, or after lunch on this occasion, perhaps chatting over lunch as we think about the change of time and how it does or doesn't work for some, the change of style, which for all of us, we might think how it does or doesn't work, the change of format and liturgy, the new teams and rotas. Well, one thing hasn't changed. As we look to the cross, we remember that Christ loved us first in a very costly way, at great inconvenience. And that is a love that challenges and comforts me as I long to love you like that. Challenges me to love better. And it comforts me because I know that his love covers all the times I'm less than loving. So friends, as we in a moment gather around the table and remember the cross, and now just as I close, let's pray that we would be a church family that's walking to heaven, if you will, helping one another along the way. On any family walk, we'd help one another, down steps, up ramps, whatever it would be. Let's encourage each other to keep trusting what's true, because therein lies unity. And let's remember that that is not simply because we now meet at the same time, in the same place. No, it's because we long to trust and obey the same Lord. Obeying his truth and longing to take every opportunity to therefore love one another as he loved us. Let me pray. Loving Father, we thank and praise you for the Lord Jesus and for his love for us seen on the cross, and the clarity of his word, which is truth and life. And so we pray you'd help us to encourage each other to keep trusting him as we follow. We thank and praise you for our diversity. Some have trusted and followed for years and decades, others for weeks and months. We pray you'd help us all to help one another obey and love. And as we go forward as a service, to be bold in doing that, gathering around the same cross, in a truth that will transcend all sorts of differences and things of change, knowing that he remains unchanged, and we gather for him. And we pray in his name. Amen.